A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Chof Hei Amid Beis, Shabbos 25b, pagination page 50. The topic of Neiros Shabbos, the Shabbos lights, and where that mitzvah originates from. Starting from the fifth line on the page, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rabbi Yishmael says, this is a quote from the mission on the previous blot that said that Rabbi Yishmael restricted the types of fuels, a madlikin be'itron, not to use a certain type of tar residue, because of its bad smell. My taima, asked the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rava said, mitoch shericho ra, because it has a bad smell. Gezeira, we're worried, it's a legislation, because of a fear. Shemo yanichena v'yetze. Maybe he will leave it, and he will go out. He'll leave the room. He'll light, and then it'll be a bad smell, and he'll leave. Amalei Abaye, Abaye asks, v'yetze, so let him leave, who cares? And this is to a certain extent a throwback to the Gemara by Hanukkah, where we said that even if the light goes out, you were yetzer the mitzvah already. Here also, the light didn't even go out. The light's burning. I lit it. I did my mitzvah. What do you want from me? So if he leave, he'll leave. Well, he'll stay. He'll leave. What's the difference? I did my mitzvah. Amalei, so Rava explained, she'ani omer, because I say, hadlokas ner Shabbos chova. Lighting the Ner Shabbos is an obligation. And the explanation over here is that the purpose is not just that you should light a Ner Shabbos, I guess symbolically that Shabbos is light or something like that. It's supposed to be that you're eating to the light of the candles. The Amar Rav Nachman, Bar Rav Zavda, V'amri lo, Amar Rav Nachman, Bar Rava, Amar Rav, Hadlokas ner b'Shabbos chova, lighting the ner Shabbos is an obligation, and this is referring to that you're supposed to be eating the meal to the light of the candles. Rashi's words are she'ein suda chashuva ela b'makom or, a important meal only takes place when it's light, ke'ein yomama, like by daylight, it has to be lit up. And if you're going to walk out, so good, you lit the lights, but you didn't light them in a way that you're going to be enjoying the meal to that. And when you walk out, you're not enjoying the meal to it. So therefore, they restricted what you're allowed to use as fuel. Mm-hmm. He continued and he said, "Rechitzas yadayim v'raglayim b'chamin arvis reshus v'ani omer mitzvah." And another thing you should be aware of, Erev Shabbos, besides candle lighting in the proper way, is washing your hands and feet in warm water, Lekavod Shabbos. My mitzvah, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kach Hayu Menhago Shel Rabbi Yehuda Barabbi Eloi. This was the way of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, Erev Shabbos. Mevi'im lo areva, they would bring him a tub, Malaya Chamin, full of warm water, V'rochetz Panav Yada V'raglov, and he would wash his face, his hands, and his feet. Umasatef Yoshe Basadinim, and he would sit wrapped in cloths, pishtan, linen, hamutsuyatsim with tzitzis. That was his shita. V'domel amalach Hashem Tzavakos, and he was similar to an angel, angelic look. Now, this second piece, which was added in addition to candle lighting perspectives, has specific ramification. Usually, we try to take a shower or a bath before Shabbos. The question is, if a person's traveling and it's difficult and he's going away for Shabbos and to take a shower after Chatzos, let's say, to take a shower later in the day is just very difficult, so he wants to take a shower in the morning. And he wants to say, that's my Shabbos shower. So, presumably, if a person doesn't really have a choice, you know, that squeezes by. But it is proper for a person to do what's minimally required over here, face, hands, and feet. And even if we say feet doesn't apply now because we wear socks and shoes and we're not going barefoot, but at least face and hands, l'kavod Shabbos, hands, we wash our hands anyway so often, it really boils down to face, l'kavod Shabbos, that a person should do something, l'kavod Shabbos, in a more time apropos way, that's clear that it's l'kavod Shabbos. Let's drop down a few lines. The beginning of the line is Mishum Kisus Laila, and then added two dots in the middle of the line, we find a second reason cited for lighting the Neir Shabbos. Again, the first one is in the place that you eat. And then the second one, Vatiznach Mishalom Nafshi, Yirmiyah describes the despair at the time of the Churban from peace. Nashisi Tova, I forgot good. Mai, Vatiznach Mishalom Nafshi, what does it mean I despaired from Shalom, from peace? Amar Rabbi Avozu Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos, this is Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, and Rashi explains that the reason there's no Shalom is because people bump into things, and in darkness there's despair. It's a sadness. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about people lighting Neir Shabbos in different places, these are the two Gemaras that we keep in mind as primary sources. People want to know, should I be lighting in the bedroom? Should I be lighting at the place that I eat? In a hotel setting, better to light in my own room, better to light in the place of eating. Very often the fire hazard takes precedence. And that's why in many cases we recommend leave a light on in the bedroom area, let's say in the bathroom. Turn that light on, L'kavod Shabbos, and then go straight there, without making a bracha on that light, go straight there to the dining room area and light over there with a bracha and have in mind both. Because really, there are two issues that we're trying to take care of. Same thing if a person's being hosted in an apartment, but he's eating sheva brachas by his host, by the primary host. So where do you light your Neir Shabbos? And this becomes a bit of a discussion, often results in a shaila to clarify what's the proper place, considering all the options. Noshisi Tova, the Gemara continues, what was the second thing that Yirmiyah was lamenting? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Zubeis HaMerchatz, that they weren't able to bathe properly to refresh themselves. And in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Zuruchitzes Yadayim V'Raglayim Bechamin, to wash your hands and feet. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcham, Mita Noe V'Kelim Noim, a proper bed, everything lined up. Rabbi Avoham, Mita Matzas V'Yishim Mikushetis L'Temidei Chachamim, the approach that a Talmud Chacham was with his wife on Friday night, and everything was just right, Mikushetes, physically or spiritually, but these concepts that happen only when things are stable, and Yirmiyah was describing at the time of the Churban that they weren't able to do this. The Gemara adds in a piece here that's fascinating, often quoted, Tanu Rabbanan Eze Oshir, who is considered wealthy, right? We just mentioned that these are considered great losses. Not to be able to light Shabbos Neiris at the time of the Churban was considered a great loss. Not to be able to have the family life proper. So the statement over here is, Kol sheyesh lo nachas ruach ba'osho divrei Rab Meir. Rab Meir prefaces all the concepts by saying, it depends if you have joy from the wealth. And one of the ways to learn this, one of the approaches taken by the Mefarshim, is that the coming Tanoim are going to list off things that they had and which they were thankful for. And ultimately, the happiness button is when you could push it, when you are pressing it based on what you have, not on something that you wish for. If a person makes his happiness dependent on something he's wishing for, so then he'll never be happy. Mm-hmm. And therefore, these tanoim, this is at least one approach, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, kol sheyesh lo kuf kramim u'mei asados v'kuf avodim she'ovdim bohem, Rabbi Tarfon, who was enormously wealthy, said, a person who has 100 vineyards, 100 fields, and 100 workers that are working it, because he's defining his wealth And that's what he had, and therefore he defined wealth by what he had. Rabbi Akiva Omer kol sheyesh lo isha no'eh b'maisim. Rabbi Akiva said, a person who has a woman who's pleasant in her deeds. And Rabbi Akiva, the famous Rabbi Akiva, Rachel was his wife, is describing the blessing that he had in life. In his younger years, he was enormously poor when they started out. Later, he became very wealthy. But he defines wealth, you have a good wife. Rabbi Yossi Omer, if you have a bathroom nearby, that's considered wealth. Presumably, according to this pshat, that's what he had. And the benefit is enormous. We don't fully appreciate it, but a person could actually become ill if they can't relieve themselves properly. There's another approach I saw Art School brings based on the Marsha, which is that there are three reasons that a person claims that he needs wealth. One is for self-esteem, for kavod, for honor. One is to provide for his family. And one is for his old age in case he gets ill. And the response here from these Tannaim is that these are all elusive goals. Reb Tarfon, according to this pshat, is saying, you'll never be happy for honor because there'll always be someone more wealthy than you. 100 vineyards! 100! You'll never make it. Rabbi Akiva is saying that if you're providing for your family, so the family can be very demanding, and you're better off with an isha na'eh b'maisim, a woman who's got her perspectives in place. And that's much more powerful than trying to provide, because like this, whatever you have, she'll work it out with you. And Rabbi Yossi says, you're providing for your old age, you're providing in cases of illness, so you need a lot of money. Money is not really the answer to provide in times of illness. Far better that you should take care of your health. And that's why he cites a bathroom available to relieve oneself instead of letting the waste sit because they couldn't. So he's saying, take care of your health, and that's a better protection against illness. Yashar Koach, have a wonderful day.